Before I begin, thank you very much for your kindness and generosity, not only this week, but for the many years we've known each other. It's always a treat and a delight for Debbie and I to come back to 13th Street, see all our old friends, and to worship together as children of God. I appreciate it. I appreciate everything you do. I appreciate your pastor, the message he preaches, and I appreciate his congregation. I love you guys. What can I say? Turn in your Bibles, please, to Revelation 22. I want to read two verses of Scripture as more or less an introduction to my remarks tonight. Verse 16 and 17, our Lord begins to close this great letter of visions sent to John on the Isle of Patmos, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that athirst, that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. We just heard the promise in Isaiah chapter 45 as our brother Ron was reading, men will come to him. All that the Father has chosen from all eternity will come to him. And we are thankful for that. They will come without moving a muscle. They will come in their hearts and in their minds to the Lord Jesus Christ in God-given faith. I'm going to take a little different tack tonight and relate to you a personal story in this message. It's entitled A Letter to a Friend. A Letter to a Friend. Several years ago, I was talking with Brother Scott Richardson in a motel room somewhere, and he decried the fact that Mr. Wet Eyes was gone. That nobody seemed to be a sinner anymore, and that was a rare thing to find. And it is a rare thing to find a sinner in this day. In this day when salvation has been reduced to a simple plan, a plan that entails a little more than accepting an ersatz offer of salvation, and demonstrating your will by sauntering down some aisle to the background dulcet tones of the 37th verse of Just As I Am. It's almost unheard that anyone would be found despairing for their soul. Religion today is designed to make people not despair for their soul. I heard a man say he was wearing a flowered Hawaiian shirt who pastored a mega church. Sounds impressive, doesn't it? A mega church. He said, we don't preach and deal with the doctrines of justification and sanctification anymore. That's what he said. That was his claim to fame. Of course, he didn't realize he was saying, I don't preach the gospel, but that's what he was saying. In this day, it seems that the Bible has become a self-help book, and that's the way preachers use it, to help people get along in this world and to save themselves. It's a rare thing to hear somebody say, I'm lost. I'm undone. I cannot remember the last time it was said to me before about a year ago. Almost a year ago, sometime in, I believe it was August of 2009, I got a phone call late at night. It's 11 o'clock at night. There was a man, and he was calling from England, from the British Isles. He had been listening to some of my messages on sermonaudio.com. He was a man from Nigeria. His name was Uche Chuwu Okwara. And his accent was thick, and my ear hearing was thin, and it made it difficult for me to understand what he was saying and asking. Though I could tell from the tone of his voice that he was somewhat troubled. So I gave him my address, my email address, and told him to write me so that I could better understand what he wanted, his request. This is the letter that he wrote to me a year ago. Dear sir, are you Pastor Tim James? If so, please help me understand what it means to be saved. I want to be saved by the free and sovereign grace of the Lord Jesus. I want to be saved. I am tired of empty profession of religion. Please tell me and show me how and what it means to trust Christ unreservedly, and I'll believe him. I need salvation, the salvation that Jesus freely gives. I sin every day. Sometimes I try to be good in character, but I know my good works will never save me. I know. Please, I beg you to show me Jesus that I may trust him. I know if he, Jesus, chooses to save me, he will. I have prayed and asked the Lord Jesus to be my sin bearer as directed by some pastors. Is it enough to make me a saved person? Do I have to continually confess my sins every moment in order to maintain a fellowship with God? I cannot bear to be cut off from God for all eternity if death comes knocking at my door. So please, please show me and teach me in simple and understandable English what and how I can be saved. God bless you. Uche. Now, my response to him is my message tonight. I decided to do this because I was put to the test. This is a test. A man has asked me some very serious and important questions. Whether this young man was sincere or not, God only knows. But when this opportunity was afforded me, I knew that I could not take it lightly. He was asking me what it means to be saved. And I knew that what I said was important not only to him, but to me. So here with some scriptural expansion is what I wrote to this young man. Dear Uche, thank you for your letter. Yours is not an unusual dilemma. Many, because of the teaching of religion, find in desiring salvation that there are many voices spoken in their ears and in their head that seem to mitigate trusting Jesus Christ alone. I will address the questions that you have asked. First, to be saved, according to Scripture, is to believe, trust, rely on Jesus Christ and what he accomplished as your only basis for acceptance with God. It means that, simply that, only that, and nothing more than that. As many as received him gave he a power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of flesh, not of blood, not of the will of man, but of God. I told him, I cannot give you assurance because that only comes from one place, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians 2, full assurance is said to be from the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 6, full assurance is said to be from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 10, full assurance is said to be from understanding the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith and understanding, knowledge. This gives a man assurance and nothing else. If you are looking for assurance, I'm going to tell you something. You'll never find it. If you're looking for it, you'll never find it. It's one of those things that disappears the minute you start considering it. It always does. How do we have assurance? Full assurance. And there's nothing wrong with assurance unless there's something wrong with believing God. We have assurance through the knowledge, the understanding, and trusting of the Lord Jesus Christ. Uche, you say that you want to be saved. I would ask you, does such a desire come from your carnal nature? Will the life we have from birth, which is totally bent to sin and cannot even perceive spiritual things, generate a desire toward God? John 3:3-6, the Lord told Nicodemus, except you're born from above, you cannot even perceive the kingdom of God. You can't even perceive who I am, Christ was saying. He also said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the natural man, the carnal man, the man or woman that is born in this world, if that never changes, that first birth, cannot in any way perceive spiritual things. They will always be foolishness to them. Neither can he know them nor discern them because they are spiritually discerned. Uche, if your desire is true, it did not come from within yourself. You say that you need this salvation? Again, where would such a need originate? Would the darkened mind and the wicked heart of natural man come up with that? Come up with such a need for Christ? Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is wicked and desperately evil, diseased, and who can know it? Over in Romans chapter 3, quoting from Psalm 14, Paul describes all of humanity this way. There is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues have they used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's the description of humanity. Did your need for Christ come from that place? What I find in the Word of God, Uche, is that everyone who needed Christ and who needs Christ comes to Christ. Everyone. And they come in a specific way. They come worshiping Him, believing that He alone can meet their need. Bill said last night around the campfire, the greatest definition of worship is one word. help. Help. And you'll find sinner after sinner coming to Christ saying that, Lord, help me. I find no instance where one in need was ever turned away. The old hymn says, let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth that you feel a need for him. Uche, we all sin with every breath we take. Every believer sins continually. Paul makes that clear in Romans chapter 7 and verses 14 through 25. He don't know what he is. I've often said, would you hire this man? If you were holding a job application seminar and this man came up to you and you began to ask him questions, would you hire him? He says this. Your question might be, well, what do you do? And he would answer, I don't know what I do. That's what he said. For that which I do, I allow not. I don't know what I do. Well, what do you like? He said, well, I like a lot of stuff, but I find this, what I would do, or what I would, I don't do that. And what I hate, that's what I do. If I then do that which I would not, I consent that the law is good. There's a problem in me, not in the law. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth me. I'm a sinner. And everything I do is sinful. And I don't have a dotted line drawn down the middle of me that tells me what's what. Say, well, don't you know when you do good? Yeah, but I know when I do good, I do bad. And when I would do good, I don't end up doing it. And when I would do evil, that's what I end up doing. Would you hire this man? He finally ends this whole treatise by saying there's a principle in me, a law in my members, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And then he says, down in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ. He doesn't say, I thank God through Jesus Christ who helps me figure out what's good about me and what's bad about me. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ because he has delivered me from the body of this death. And then he gives your life and my life in a succinct way. This is our life. You remember that old show back in the 50s? Boy, I'm really dating myself. Ralph Edwards, remember? This is your life. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is your life. It's not going to be any different than this as long as you live on the face of this earth. With my mind, with the inner man, wherever and whatever that is, with him, with my mind, I serve the law of God. And with my flesh, I serve the law of sin and death. And it's not sometimes one way and sometimes the other way. It's always that way all the time. So we can't know what we would. So I said to Uche, we sin with every breath. And there is no relief for the principle of sin in us until we leave this world. The old nature cannot be eradicated in this life on earth. It can only be subdued, and not by efforts of the flesh to stop doing something or start doing something. Only by looking to the Lord Jesus Christ is that flesh subdued, and it is subdued, like I said last night, for lack of affection. It's just, you don't feed it. But you don't look at it and say, I'm not going to feed you. You look to Christ. And in looking to Christ, it's ignored. It's ignored. Uche, that you want to be a man of good character is commendable. It is an honorable desire. But know this, conduct and character play no part in your salvation. No part whatsoever. Salvation is not reformation. Salvation is regeneration. And it does not take away the flesh. There was a woman who lived in the walls of Jericho who practiced harlotry. Her name was Rahab. And she was still practicing harlotry as far as I can see when she hung that cord down from that window. There's no indication that she was practicing otherwise. She didn't stop practicing harlotry until her whorehouse was torn down. That's when it happened. From that day forward, this woman whom God honored in the hall of fame of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, from that moment on all the way through the New Testament, she's known by this title, Rahab the harlot. Not Rahab the saint, though she was. Not Rahab the believer, though she was. She was called Rahab the harlot all the days of her life. Why? Because she was Rahab, the saved sinner. The sinner, the harlot. I told our folks back in Cherokee, we're all whore saints. That's what we are. That's what we are. It's good to desire to have a better character, but that doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. Salvation does affect character and conduct, but salvation is in no way dependent upon character conduct, nor is it the cause of it. Our righteousnesses, according to Scripture, are as filthy rags. And that's a very generous, kind way of putting that. That's a very mollified version of the language. Those rags spoken of are menstruous rags. And that speaks of a woman's menses, and when she has that, she was cursed. She was cast out of the camp, and she could not come back in the camp until she was atoned for. Our righteousness needs to be atoned for, because our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. They are cursed, and our righteousnesses cast us outside the camp. We can't get back in until an atonement is made for us. Character and conduct have nothing to do. Our Lord looked at a group of men who thrived in character and conduct. They let everybody know that they were fine characters and upright men. They were called Pharisees. And don't be so mad at Pharisees, because there's still a lot of Pharisee in us. I call myself a recovering legalist, because I'm in recovery. I ain't got over it yet. Let something happen that I don't like, and I can get downright legal about it. And so can you. But he said to these men who are upright in character, fine men who wore robes that distinguished them from everybody else. They put phylacteries on their bodies, little boxes of verses that they knew. And the bigger the phylacteries, the more the Bible they knew. Our Lord, back in the days of the priesthood, he told the priesthood to put a little blue ribbon around the border of their garment. And that would show that they were dedicated to God. And our Lord said to the Pharisees, you've widened that border. You made it bigger. So the whole bottom of their robe was this big blue ribbon. And what they were saying, I obey God better than anybody obeys God. And our Lord looked at them when they saw him sitting down with sinners and publican and eating with them. They went to his disciples and it says they were astonished. What they saw was a spectacle. They were offended. And our Lord looked at them. He said, I didn't come for you. I came not to call the righteous, but bring sinners to repentance. It's good to want to be a good character. It's commendable. And I told Uche, the fact that you are considering conduct and character, though you know that such will not save you, shows that you suffer the trouble of every believer. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Principalities and powers. Our struggles are within. Because we get high ideas about ourselves. We get high ideas where we don't want to acknowledge God. And our struggle is this. And it is impossible apart from the grace of God to bring everything we are and everything we do
to the obedience of Christ. Not our obedience. His obedience. I am what I am because He obeyed. If I do anything good, it's because He obeyed. If I'm forgiven for anything bad, it's because He obeyed. It has nothing to do with me. It's all about His obedience.
We, more than we would like to admit, often look to ourselves for some shred of evidence that we are indeed children of God. In us, there is no evidence because all we do and all we are is tainted with sin. The only evidence of salvation given in Scripture is simply this: believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only evidence of salvation. Faith is the evidence of hope, things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. There is no peace to be found if our eyes are cast upon anything on this earth, Uche. Look away, my dear fellow, when you see Christ. The things of this world will indeed grow strangely dim. Uche, you asked me to show you that you may trust Christ. Show me, he said, that I may trust Christ. You may. He has commanded you to do so, and with the command comes the permission. You're permitted. Go ahead. Go ahead and trust Him. The issue is not if He will be your sin bearer, but rather can you believe and will you trust that He has borne away your sin by the sacrifice of Himself. His work is done and faith is given that we might believe that it was done for us. That's what faith does. When God gives you faith, you don't believe that you can do something or that there's something left to be done. You believe that God, by Christ, through the blood and righteousness of Christ, through His shed blood, through His death, actually redeemed you 2,000 years ago. That's what you believe. That's the gospel. The gospel ain't good news unless it's a finished thing. If there's something left for me to do, I'm not going to do it. And if I do it, I'm going to do it wrong. Because that's who I am. Look over 1 John chapter 5, 20. Chapter 5 and verse 20. I love this passage of Scripture. And we know that the Son of God is come. That ain't all we know. We know that He has given us an understanding. What is that? What does that mean? That means when Christ comes to you, reveals Himself to you, He reveals that you have an understanding. You mean I don't have to study all these years to get it? No. God says, I have written my word in your minds and in your hearts. I've written it, and it's there. Why do you think elect people respond to the gospel? Because in the matter of rebirth, God writes the gospel in their hearts. You know it's true. The preacher will preach sometimes, and you'll go, that's it. How do you know that's it? How are you so sure? Because it's in your heart. It's in your heart. He has come. We know that. And we know that He has given us an understanding. What is that understanding? That we may know Him that is true. That's what we understand. We know Him. And not only that, part of that understanding is that we understand that we are in Him. We are in Him, that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. We know that. So, Uche, can you believe and will you trust that Christ has already saved you, has already redeemed you? Fellowship with God is maintained but one way: walking in the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only one way. It's what it says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. If you walk in the light as He in the light, you have fellowship with Him, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. That's what fellowship is. This is just simply another way of saying, look to Christ. Look. Fix your eyes and hearts upon Him. Look to Christ. Uche, confession of sin is not the continual rehearsing of our iniquity. It's not making a list of all our bad deeds. You don't know them. Because you'd have to actually start with what you think is good deeds, because they're full of sin. Our sin is so involved in everything we do, think, and say that we would not have time to draw breath if we started to try to confess all our sins all the time. We confess our sin how? By looking to Christ. What we're going to do in just a little while is a confession of sin. It's a confession of our sin. Why blood? Why a broken body? Because I'm a sinner. And He gave His body and His blood for me. Coming here to worship God is a confession of sin. Going into the baptismal waters is a confession of sin. Hearing the gospel is a confession of sin. It's a confession of sin. We confess our sin by looking to Christ alone. When we see Him, we see our sin. We understand our sin when we see Him. You want to know about sin? Don't go to the bars and the bordellos. Don't go to the online sites of pornography. Look to Christ. You'll find out what sin is. Because sin is so heinous and so vile and so wicked and so depraved and so reprobate that when God Himself dealt with it, He poured out His wrath on His only begotten, beloved, sinless Son. That's sin. But what about? Scripture says we are to confess our sins. When we see Christ, our sin debt we know was paid by His sweet suffering substitutionary, the death. But we confess our sin knowing that God is just to forgive us our sin because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. God was satisfied and could be just as He justified poor wretched sinners. But let me tell you something about confessing your sin. You should confess your sin. But confession of sin, that's for us. That's for us. Not for God. He's already, because of Christ, forgotten our sin. He will remember our sins no more. So confession of sin is for us, is to remind us of His great sacrifice for our sins. Uche, what I can tell is plain. Look away from self. Look away from religion. Don't look at your experience. Look away from anything that's on this earth. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not be relieved of the plague of the flesh. But as you look to Christ, in that moment, in the now, you will find peace and rest for your soul. Uche, I pray I've been a service to you, yours in Jesus Christ, Tim James. Several days later, I received this email. Dear Tim, I'd like to thank you very much for making me understand and know what it is to trust Christ. It's never been the same again for me. I've now clung unto Him alone as my only hope, and I'm deeply convinced He is mine and I am His forever. More so, nothing will ever take me away from Him. Nothing at all. May God bless you so much. I will always email when I find anything confusing in the Bible. Yours in Christ, Uche. God bless you.